इमानं प्रकुर्वन्ति किम उत्तान भवदृशः. ट्रांसलेशन: इन एनी असेंबली वेर देर आर डिस्कोर्सेस अबाउट सेंट्स एंड डिवोटीज, ओ किंग युधिष्ठिर, इवन द एनिमीज ऑफ द डीमंस, नेमली द डेमिगॉड्स, व्हाट टू स्पीक ऑफ यू, वुड साइट प्रहलाद महाराज एज एन एग्जाम्पल ऑफ अ ग्रेट डिवोटी. देर इज नो पर्पोर्ट. द नेक्स्ट वर्स: गुणेर अलम असंख्येयेर महात्म्यम तस्य सूच्यते वासुदेवे भगवती यस्य नैसर्गिकी रति. ट्रांसलेशन पर्पोर्ट बाय सिवान ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद. ट्रांसलेशन: हु कुड लिस्ट द इन्यूमरेबल ट्रांसेंडेंटल क्वालिटीज ऑफ प्रहलाद महाराज. He had unflinching faith in Vasudev, Lord Krishna, and unalloyed devotion to him. His attachment to Lord Krishna was natural because of his previous devotional service. Although his good qualities cannot be enumerated, they prove that he was a great soul Mahatma. Purport: in his prayers to the 10 incarnations, Jayadev Goswami says, केशव धृता नर हरि रूपा जय जगदीश हरे. प्रहलाद महाराज वॉज अ ग्रेट वॉज अ डिवोटी ऑफ लॉर्ड नरसिंह देव हु इज केशव कृष्ण हिमसेल्फ. देयरफोर व्हेन दिस वर्स सेज वासुदेव भगवती, वन शुड अंडरस्टैंड दैट प्रहलाद महाराज अटैचमेंट फॉर नरसिंह देव वॉज अटैचमेंट फॉर कृष्ण वासुदेव. प्रहलाद महाराज देयरफोर इज डिस्क्राइब एज अ ग्रेट महात्मा as God confirms in Bhagavad Gita 7.19, Bahunam Janmanam Ante Gyanavan Mam Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samhatma Sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, in knowing me to be cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. A great devotee of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, is a great soul very rarely to be found. Prahlad Maharaj's attachment for Krishna will be explained in the next verse. Krishna Graha Grihitatma. Prahlad Maharaj's heart was always filled with thoughts of Krishna. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is the ideal devotee in Krishna consciousness. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. श्रीचैतन्यामनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां सागरजातां सगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तम सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च. नमः ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले भक्ति वेदांत स्वामीन इति नामिने. नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे. नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरत्विषे नमः. हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते. तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधार शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। To speak about the glories of such a great devotee like Prahlad Maharaj, all we can do is we can show some light in front of the sun. Even though we may have the best of scriptures with us, still, what can a dwarf, a small child, how much he can jump and try to touch the stars? Now today in our presentation, we will speak from Srimad Bhagavatam 7th canto. Some particular chapters, not everything. And along with that, we'll also add some stories and information which has been presented in other scriptures, and also what Srila Prabhupada spoke about Prahlad Maharaj in his conversations and in his lectures. So in the introduction of Prahlad Maharaj, actually Prahlad Maharaj does not need any introduction. Even before we came to Krishna consciousness, when we hardly knew about Krishna consciousness, what it is, people know about Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj is so famous that it doesn't require any introduction. People know, who is, ask anyone, Prahlad Maharaj, he was a great devotee, small child, Narasingh Dev came out of the pillar. So therefore when we have drama on Narasingh Dev, it is never a mystery. Everyone knows Narasingh Dev is going to come out from which place. The pillar is somewhere, the pillar has to be there. So Prahlad Maharaj is very well known among devotees, among Vaishnavas, he is well known. And therefore in Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter, Lord Krishna says, Prahlad chasmi daityanam, that means, among daityas, Krishna says, I am Prahlad. So Prabhupada says in the purport, interestingly, that there are Kashyap Muni had two wives, Diti and Aditi. So the sons which were born from Diti, they became Daityas, demons. And the sons which were born from Aditi, they became Adityas, or the demigods. So there was a clear demarcation in the family. Everyone coming from Diti side were all demons, everyone. And everyone from Aditi side was demigod. But somehow there, in Diti side, one devotee got born first. Prahlad Maharaj. And therefore Prabhupada says, when Prahlad Maharaj was born in a Daitya family, and his devotion was so powerful, that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that I represent Prahlad Maharaj among Daityas. That is the power of his devotion. In fact, Srila Prabhupada has given wonderful purports to the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We find that apart from the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, which describes entirely about Krishna, the only canto which describes entirely about incarnation is 7th canto, Narasingh Dev's pastime. So this is how famous and how important this pastime is for devotees. We'll discuss in the end that why Narasingh Dev is relevant for devotees, even though we can worship so many incarnations. There is a range of incarnation, we have choice. But specifically Narasingh Dev, why? That we'll discuss in the end as we conclude our class. So one time Srila Prabhupada was in Australia. And this is a recollection of Bali Maradhan Prabhu in his book Pacific Rim, preaching in the Pacific Rim. And he mentions that at 1:30 in the night, he hears the ring. Prabhupada's bell is ringing. So Prabhupada in the night at 12, he would get up and he would translate his books. All those books which we can see near Srila Prabhupada, all those books Srila Prabhupada wrote in the night time, when we do not know where we are. So those books he wrote in the night time in 12 years. Maximum of those books came in 12 years. And Srila Prabhupada, if he needs any assistance, so he would always keep a bell. So everyone was sleeping in the whole temple. No one was awake. And then Prabhupada's bell rings. So Bali Maradhan Prabhu gets up. And he knew that Prabhupada requires something. So in his half sleep or full sleep, whatever you call, he just enters Prabhupada's room and offers obeisances. And Prabhupada smiles at him and Prabhupada said, come sit next to me. So he comes and sits next to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada is having Bhagavatam in his hand. And Prabhupada is apparently translating 7th canto of Bhagavatam that time. And Prabhupada starts speaking about the glories of Prahlad Maharaj to him. And now he has been woken up in his sleep. And Prabhupada makes him sit and he speaks about Prahlad Maharaj. And Prabhupada says, how great Prahlad Maharaj is. That his only desire was that he wanted to deliver everyone from cycle of birth and death. Is he not a great devotee? Prabhupada asked that. So he said, yes, yes, Prabhupada, definitely. And Prabhupada then began that, how? This is para dukkha dukhi. His distress was seeing others' distress. Generally we have a common thing in material world. That we become happy when someone else is distressed. Para dukkha sukhi. Or maybe para sukha dukhi. When someone is too much happy, we ask him, why are you so happy? Like one of our devotees from our congregation. So his natural demeanor was, he would always smile. Sometimes some people are there who just smile, always. So he became a devotee, so his smile increased. So he goes to his office, he joined a new office. So his boss became desperate, called him and said, why are you always smiling, Why are you always happy? As if it is a crime, he's asking, why are you always happy? We're supposed to be always happy, and someone is already happy, he says, why are you happy, For a sukha dukhi, he became disturbed. He's asking reason why you're happy. So the material world, this is going on. Para sukha dukhi, para dukha sukhi. But para dukha dukhi is very difficult. Very rare. In para dukha dukhi also there is a hidden agenda. Para dukha dukhi, then I will get my fame. If I help them. But Prahlad Maharaj is saying, deliver everyone. He's saying, let the whole, everyone in this planet get delivered. Let me stay here. Let all go back to Godhead. Let me stay here. What kind of preacher he is? Where he wants to send everyone and remain here. In case they are not qualified, let me take their sins and keep myself here. So Prabhupada is glorifying. Prabhupada asked Bali Maharaj, have you seen anyone like that? So Bali Maharaj was thinking, Bali Maharaj Prabhu, that I am seeing someone in front of me, Prabhupada. That Prabhupada is in the night, midnight, the best hours for taking rest, Prabhupada is sacrificing that for what reason? For translating books, so that these books can be available for people all over the world and they can take advantage of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada sacrifices his whole life for others' suffering, for relieve them from the suffering. Srila Prabhupada also mentioned in one of his conversations while he was speaking with disciples that Prahlad Maharaj is a special devotee. And Prabhupada says, Prahlad Maharaj, when someone may see Prahlad Maharaj without understanding the context, he may think, what kind of person this Prahlad Maharaj is, Some person may think, for example, someone may come new in the temple, and he may ask, what is this photo all about? Oh, this is Narasingdev, acha. Who is this person? Whom he is killing? This is Hiranyakashipu. And who is this boy? That is Hiranyakashipu's son. So we get confused. Hiranyakashipu's son, he is seeing his father being killed, and he is holding a garland, to garland the murderer. So that can be very difficult. Social convention may be a little, we can't understand the social convention. How can a son be happy and ready with garland? Jab murder ho gaya toh main pehna dunga garland. So Prabhupada said that Prahlad Maharaj actually he broke the social convention. And then Prabhupada also gave example of Bali Maharaj, who also was Prahlad Maharaj's grandson. Bali Maharaj also broke a social convention. What? He rejected his guru. Why? Because guru said, don't surrender to Krishna. So he rejected the guru only. Gopis, they rejected all social conventions and ran in the dead of the night to meet Krishna, forgetting all the relatives, all the children, everything home. So Prabhupada said, this is called as faith in Krishna. So, a solid faith in Krishna, that Krishna will definitely do everything right. So Prahlad Maharaj had that faith, strong faith. And therefore he knew Narasingdev was doing completely everything right. Anyways, in that anger of Narasingdev, who could have stopped Narasingdev? In fact, we know from Bhagavatam that even after killing Hiranyakashipu, it was difficult to stop Narasingdev. What to speak of just about to be killing Hiranyakashipu? Who could stop? So definitely Prahlad Maharaj never stopped Narasingdev. But Prahlad Maharaj had that feeling for his father. How can you understand? Because as soon as the killing was done, when Narasingha asked him, what do you want? The first thing he asked was, deliver my father. And Narasingha said that actually your father is already delivered. You don't have to ask also. Because you are a devotee, all past and future generations of your family, they are delivered. So Prabhupada said, that is a faith, conviction of Prahlad Maharaj, that he would surrender to Narasingha. And he knew Narasingha would do everything perfectly all right. So therefore we can actually always ponder that how can such a devotee like Prahlad Maharaj ever take birth in a demon family? Quite opposite, quite difficult to understand that in a demon family, outright demon, the best of demons, Asuravariya, the king of demons, everyone in the family, in the kingdom were number one demons. And there appears Prahlad Maharaj. Someone might ask question, why? So in the Puranas it is mentioned, this story is given, that Narad Muni played a very important role in the story, in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where he appeared at right time, at right place, and he was like a catalyst which made the whole process work faster. So one time what happened is, Narad Muni was the one who was instrumental in seeing that Prahlad Maharaj is born to Hiranyakashipu. So when Hiranyakashipu went to tapasya, all the demigods were a little worried because they knew what will happen next. But they could not do much. So Narad Muni in worry went to Brahmaji and told, Brahmaji, do you know Hiranyakashipu is doing tapasya? And he is doing tapasya to you only. So ultimately he is going to ask all these benedictions, immortality and all. So be ready. So Brahmaji says, oh, something has to be done. So Narad Muni said, don't worry, we will do something. He has to get a son, Prahlad Maharaj. And then the plot will be perfect. The drama has to get completed. Hiranyakashipu has to be killed. So then Narad Muni devises a plan. And Narad Muni and Brahmaji, they take the form of two birds. Kalavinka birds. And exactly at the place where Hiranyakashipu is doing tapasya, ghor, big tapasya, intense, they go to the nearby tree and from there they start chanting the names of Lord Krishna. Loudly, kirtan. Now for devotees to hear kirtan is very soothing, very interesting. They become very happy. Is it not? Sometimes when you travel in train and you are amidst non-devotees and suddenly you hear Hare Krishna, so you are very happy. Or sometimes I travel in train, I see Hare Krishna sticker. Such a Hare Krishna is there. Wow. So, for a demon like Hiranyakashipu, who was outright demon, who was against Vishnu, for him it was unbearable. And right at that time when he had no inclination of doing anything else but to tapasya. It's like if I am chanting Hare Krishna somewhere and suddenly a loudspeaker begins, which all Bollywood songs are played on that. What will happen? Very difficult to concentrate. Not on Bollywood song, but on chanting. So you'll definitely feel, you'll put earplugs or you close your doors just so that you can chant and hear your own mantra. Here was Hiranyakashipu doing intense tapasya and continuously chanting is going on. Now chanting of whom? Chanting also of great Vaishnavas. Narad Muni and Brahmaji. Potent chanting. Sharp chanting, you know. And the chanting, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Hiranyakashipu could not resist that. He became so angry. He just opened his eyes. He had to break his tapasya. And then he saw those two birds. And he became so angry, he ran to kill those birds. But those birds were not ordinary birds. So Narad Muni and Brahmaji left to other planets. And Hiranyakashipu became disturbed. He said, now I am disturbed. Maybe next time I will come again to tapasya. Right now I should go home. Take a break. I'm worried about the whole thing. Why this happened to me? Bad things happen to good people. So he went back to his house and his wife saw and said, hey, Hiranyakashipu, you told me you're going to come after thousands of years. You lost your conviction, you know, in the process. I said, Hiranyakashipu said, no, don't ask me that, you know. Hiranyakashipu was so disturbed. So Narad Muni is narrating this to in these pastimes in the Narasimha Puran, that Hiranyakashipu was so frustrated and desperate. In that frustration, he was having a relationship with his wife. And he was narrating the whole story while having a relationship. And while having relationship and relating the whole story, was mentioning that how these two birds came and they were chanting, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, yena kena prakarena, whatever may be, Hiranyakashipu chanted, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And that Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya was chanted by Narad Muni and chanted by Brahmaji. So, it was so potent that it was reverberating in his ears, Om Namo Bhagavate. Even though he stopped chanting, there was reverberations, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And that frustration when he was having relationship, it is mentioned, that time he injected his semen in the womb of Kayadu. And Narad Muni says, as a result, because he was in other way Krishna conscious, and Kayadu also heard Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, the result was a great devotee child Prahlad was born. So this is some interesting facts to some strange strange storyline about how a demon like Prahlad can be born to devotees. Of course, Narad Muni also played a very vital role in many aspects in Hiranyakashipu's life. Like, he was the one who encouraged Hiranyakashipu to do tapasya. So there is a mention that how Hiranyakashipu was once sitting and he was thinking, how should I take revenge of my brother's death? How should I defeat and kill Vishnu? So that time Narad Muni makes his entry into the court of Hiranyakashipu. And when he makes entry, he is chanting Hare Krishna. He is chanting Kirtan in the court of Hiranyakashipu. Of all places, Narad Muni decides to chant Hariram Kirtan there. And he is chanting this Veena. So Hiranyakashipu becomes very angry. He says, stop it, stop it. So Narad Muni just smiles and continues chanting. So then Hiranyakashipu, he becomes very disturbed and he thinks now he should kill Narad Muni. So Hiranyakashipu had a powerful sword. It was a mystical sword. We can call it autopilot sword. You know, once told, it will do all his work and come back. So this sword's name was Chandrahas. And the Chandrahas sword was such a sword that if Hiranyakashipu tells, go and kill, that's it. The sword will come out of the sheath, will travel in the air, cut the person's head. Not only that, the sword will go in some lake or pond, wash itself, and again come back, and again enter the sheath. So that was the magical sword of Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu said, Chandrahas, go ahead. Chandrahas went, and it went across the body of Narad Muni. Nothing happened. It went whole through the body of Narad Muni, but Narad Muni's body did not get cut. Chandrahas kept on cutting like this, you know. Now, if something is programmed, you know, if the second step doesn't work, third step will never work. That is how programming happens. So everything is happening in loop. So Chandrahas' sword, which is supposed to cut, and the blood comes out, supposed to go in the lake and sarovar and deep and come, got confused. There was an error, and it fall down there only, the sword. Nothing could happen. And Hiranyakashipu was thinking, oh my goodness, what is his personality all about, you know? What kind of body is he got? So thinking, I should actually make friends with him and ask him, what is the secret of having such a body? I also want such a body, you know. So Hiranyakashipu went and started glorifying Narad Muni. I'm very sorry, you know, but you are an amazing person. I want some help from you, said. So Narad Muni said, what help you need from me? Hiranyakashipu asked that, well, I also want the same body as yours, you know, by which I will not be killed. So Narad Muni said, yeah, for that simple chant, Hare Krishna. So Hiranyakashipu said, that is something which I will never do, you know. Something else is there and some other options. Narad Muni said, I have heard like that, you know, that you can do tapasya. Good lot of tapasya, then you may get a body which is very strong like my body. Who is it? Whom should I do tapasya? I should do tapasya to Brahmaji. So that was a clue how Narad Muni gave to Hiranyakashipu, that he should go do tapasya to get a body which is immortal, not be destroyed. So the point is that how Prahlad Maharaj, in his life, we can see that even though he was born in the demoniac family, he stood very brightly as a devotee of Krishna. Many times in our general life, many devotees may have to go through situations where they're, I can't say demoniac, but at least unfavorable situation in family or in society. So Prahlad Maharaj stands an example for all of us, where even in awkward situation, he practices Krishna consciousness very nicely. So we will today see Bhagavatam's 7th canto, chapters of Prahlad Maharaj, what all he went through while he was staying in his house. So Prahlad Maharaj was born to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was very proud to get son like Prahlad Maharaj. And Bhagavatam mentions, just like when a son grows up, a child grows up, immediately the parents start thinking about his education. This is a common thing, that when a child grows up, everyone thinks which school, which this school he should go or that school he should go, admission ke liye kya karna hai. Sometimes it can be a very difficult thing to get a child admitted to school, you know. Many devotees have spoken, and I also heard that, you know, to get admission of a child in school is the most of the toughest part, you know. You want best of the schools and donations are there, and still a child is, child has to go test also. So Hiranyakashipu also was thinking that where should my child get educated? And he decided the best institute is SIT, Shukracharya Institute of Technology. So Shukracharya was the guru of demons, and Shukracharya was staying with Hiranyakashipu. In Hiranyakashipu's kingdom, Shukracharya's ashram was there. Now Shukracharya had gone out for some very important work, and he was supposed to be out for quite a long time. But Shukracharya's two sons were excellent professors in that school. So Hiranyakashipu called these two sons of Shukracharya, Shand and Amarka. Shand and Amarka were called and told that this is my child. Hiranyakashipu said, Prahlad, kindly educate him to become a good demon, making a best of demons. Teach him how, teach him politics, teach him dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Teach him who are our enemies and who are our friends. So this was something which Hiranyakashipu told Shanda and Amarka. So Prabhupada says that Shanda and Amarka and Shukracharya, they are wrong representatives of Brahmanas. A Brahmana is generally someone who has to educate persons who are interested in advancing in spiritual life. But here we find Shukracharya and his sons are in the demonic kingdom teaching demons how to become better demons. So mentioning this, therefore they are seminal Brahmanas. They are not right, they are not qualified Brahmanas. Shukracharya, Shanda and Amarka. So Prahlad Maharaj was sent to Shanda and Amarka's school, and Shanda and Amarka began their education. So it is mentioned that Prahlad Maharaj actually had already been educated by Narad Muni while he was in the womb of his mother. So he did not require much education. But because he was forced, you know, sometimes children are forced, you have to go to school. So he went to the school, and like a nice, disciplined child, he went through all the classes. But he was least interested. And what are the classes all about? It is mentioned, Bhagavatam says, that Prahlad Maharaj had to hear the topics of politics, economics. But somehow or other, Prahlad Maharaj did not like politics. Prahlad Maharaj thought, politics means someone is friend and someone is enemy. So Prabhupada gives nice purport on politics. Prabhupada says, politics involves accepting one group of men as enemies and another group as friends. Everything in politics is based on this philosophy, and the entire world, especially at the present, is engrossed in it. This is relevant to us also now. We are also very much engrossed in current politics. The public is concerned with friendly countries and friendly groups, or enemy countries and enemy groups. Devotees especially do not create friendship and enemies. A devotee sees that every living entity is a part and parcel of Krishna. And therefore a devotee treats friends and enemies equally. How? By trying to educate them both in Krishna consciousness. Of course, Prabhupada says, atheistic men do not follow Krishna consciousness, but instead, they consider a devotee to be their enemy. However, a devotee never considers any atheist to be his enemy. So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj actually was not interested, because for him, everyone was potent. Everyone was a devotee. Someone was actually a devotee, someone was to be a devotee. And therefore, he had no difference of this person is right, this person is wrong. So, after some education was over, maybe first semester is over, Hiranyakashipu calls Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj comes, And Hiranyakashipu was very happy to see Prahlad Maharaj. So Bhagavata mentions Prahlad Maharaj asking, Hiranyakashipu was asking Prahlad Maharaj, that, tell me Prahlad, what you think is the best of all things? So Prabhupada mentions that Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu thought that Prahlad Maharaj is a very small kid, should not ask him difficult questions. Ask him some questions we can easily answer. No? So what do you think is the best? So now Prahlad Maharaj is simple Vaishnava, he is straightforward. If Hiranyakashipu would have asked him some questions about demons, something, so he would have answered it. But he asked you, what is the best? So Prahlad Maharaj, for him, best is what? Krishna consciousness. So he is going to answer Krishna consciousness only. So Prahlad Maharaj replied, oh, best of the asuras. He is telling his father, best of the asuras. Now we may laugh, no, best of the asuras. But for Hiranyakashipu it was a glory. Best of asuras. Among asuras, I am the best. And it's the best of asuras as far as I have learned from my spiritual master. He is not saying which spiritual master. There are many masters he had, teachers. Shanda Namarka was apparently the spiritual master as per Hiranyakashipu. But Hiranyakashipu did not know that Prahlad has already a spiritual master whose name is Narad Muni. As I have learned from my spiritual master, he mentions, Tat sadhu manye asurvarya dehinam sada samudvigna dhyam asadgrahat hitvatma papam griham andakupam vanam gato yad dharim ashret. Prahlad Maharaj was so bold, and he could have just somehow said something and got away. But he actually spoke without compromising Krishna conscious principle and also gave his father instructions in the shloka what he should do. And he told, Prahlad Maharaj told his father that those persons who accepted a temporary body and temporary household life as everything in their life, such a person is staying in a deep dark well where there is no water. And when someone falls in a deep dark well without water, Prahlad Maharaj told Hiranyakashipu, he is miserable. And Prahlad Maharaj says, vanam gato yad. Such a person should leave his house and go to the forest. And Prabhupada very beautifully writes in translation, specifically Prahlad Maharaj was telling Hiranyakashipu, you should go to Vrindavan and perform tapasya and forget all this nonsense business which you are doing. Now Hiranyakashipu definitely of all things did not want to hear first of all the name of Krishna or Vishnu. And his own son is telling him, retire from politics and go where? Vrindavan. Vanaprastha life. So Hiranyakashipu was very disturbed hearing this recommendation of Prahlad Maharaj over Vanaprastha life. In fact, Prahlad Maharaj was quite bold. Srila Prabhupada also mentioned in one of his lectures that Prahlad Maharaj was so bold. Why he was so bold? Why could he speak in front of Hiranyakashipu? Because Prahlad Maharaj was knowing about Krishna. One who knows about Krishna, he is convinced about Krishna. Once he is convinced about Krishna, nothing can stop him. So Prahlad Maharaj knew about Krishna, so he spoke about Krishna. And Prabhupada said, similarly, we are also preaching, Prabhupada said. And we have to meet so many people. Psychiatrists, scientists, professors, Nobel laureates. And Prabhupada says, somehow they are coming, they are presenting their views, and we are able to defeat all their views and speak about Krishna consciousness. Why? Because following in footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, we also know something about Krishna. And because we know something about Krishna, we can defeat everyone who is ignorant. So Prahlad Maharaj had that power, that because he knew about Krishna, therefore he could convince others also. Or he could speak boldly about Krishna to others. Then Hiranyakashipu becomes so angry. Hiranyakashipu says that this child has been spoiled. Someone is coming and infiltrating the schools. There must be some devotee preacher who is entering the school campus and preaching this philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Oh, Shanda Namarka, kindly protect my child. His intelligence should not be spoiled by these preachers. So Prabhupada says that, the idea of preachers being always objected to preach is not a new thing. It is coming from Satyuga. In Satyuga also, Hiranyakashipu had an idea that preachers always come incognito and they preach Krishna consciousness. So right from the days of early age, preachers have been coming in incognito and preaching. And even today, Prabhupada says, even today when you are preaching Krishna consciousness, what happens? We face obstacles. The Prabhupada says, therefore, Hiranyakashipu is saying, even just check whether they are coming incognito. So Prabhupada, sometimes a devotee has to go in clothes which are not devotional to preach. And Prabhupada says that for selling books in airport, sometimes our devotees go in formal clothing, you know, so that no one can recognize them and they can do their preaching. Even we find today also many places when we preach in Krishna consciousness, students in hostels. In some hostels there is no anxiety, we can easily go and preach. Somehow in Kali Yuga something is still, some virtuousness is there, some piety is there. So some people are very favorable, so they allow us. In some places outrightly against. So at that time what the preacher has to do? He has to send some devotee who has recently joined, who is not in saffron, so he has to wear a cap and a shirt and enter into the campus. Or if no one is available like that, then the preacher has to send his children, his students who are already passed out. Then they go with their old eye card and they enter the campus and they try to preach and get people out. So Prabhupada said this is going on even today also. That how preaching is very difficult, and Hiranyakashipu like people, they will never allow devotees to come and preach. So now Hiranyakashipu ordered Shandanamarka to protect his child, and Shandanamarka bring now Prahlad Maharaj back to their Gurukul. And when they come back to Gurukul, Shandanamarka call Prahlad Maharaj, because they are worried. Because their reputation was at stake. They thought that if Prahlad Maharaj responds very nicely, telling Hiranyakashipu what they have studied from Shandanamarka, they would have got a lot of remuneration, a lot of fame, prestige. But Prahlad Maharaj spoke about devotional service. So they wanted to know who has come to tell Prahlad Maharaj about devotional service. So they called Prahlad Maharaj, and in a very nice, humble, gentle way they said, Prahlad Maharaj, batao, kisne sikhaya aapko ye? Because they were thinking if they threatened Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj may cry and complain to his father. Or I mean, Prahlad Maharaj may think, oh, may not speak at all, being afraid. So in humble, gentle way, Shandanamarka told her, Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad, please tell, who has taught you this? Has anyone come in the ashram? Has anyone come and taught you this? Where the devotees, they came in incognito. Please speak something. Please tell the truth, we will not beat you. So, Prabhupada says in purport that Shandanamarka, they were astonished that a small child like Prahlad could speak such an elevated Vaishnava Krishna conscious philosophy. So they were worrying that some really great preacher must be coming here, infiltrating our camp and preaching. He just cannot pick it up in the air like this. He has been properly, someone is preaching him. So they wanted to pinpointedly know who that person is. So once they know that person, then they will arrest the person next time he comes and even kill the person in presence of Hiranyakashipu. So their plot was very clear. So Prahlad Maharaj, when he hears that, Prahlad Maharaj replies again in a very devotional way. Prahlad Maharaj says, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Supreme Personality of God, Lord Vishnu. And he mentions, I am surprised because I had so far heard in scriptures that Lord's energy of Maya is amazing. Lord's energy of Maya very beautifully creates dissension among living entities. And therefore, some living entities consider some people as their friends and some as their enemies. Duality. And Prahlad Maharaj says that I had only heard about it, but today I am seeing it happening. I am seeing that how you are completely, totally in the external energy of Lord, and you are behaving as if someone is your friend and someone is your enemy. The enemy has to be punished and friend has to be rewarded. And then Prahlad Maharaj says, as far as if you are thinking that my intelligence is polluted, then you should know that my intelligence was polluted, but by the grace of my spiritual master, I understood Krishna. And therefore, from that Vaishnava training which I received from my spiritual master, I understood one thing, that there should not be a competition between anyone. So Prabhupada says that there should be friendship among all living entities in this material world. And not only that, Prabhupada says, because competition is so vibrant in a society outside, Prabhupada says that competition may enter into the spiritual realm also, into devotional circles also. So Prabhupada says sometimes we find that there may be disagreement between devotees in the way how to serve. One service is there and two devotees are disagreeing how to serve in that particular way, in a particular way. They have their own style of seva. So Prabhupada said this is very common. However, the most important thing is when a service is done, the other Vaishnava should honor and respect and glorify the other Vaishnava. Because it is not that my seva was, my way was not done, other's way was done. But the point is the seva is done. And after the seva is done, one who has done seva, glorify him, Prabhupada says. So in this way, there should be friendship, not even in the material world also, but even among Vaishnavas. We should create that equality basis, Prabhupada says. And then, Prahlad Maharaj continues. Prahlad Maharaj says that, if you are feeling that why I am so attracted, he mentions the example of iron getting attracted to magnet. Just like iron gets very naturally attracted to magnet, similarly my heart gets naturally attracted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, after saying that, Prahlad Maharaj became silent. And Shanda Namarka became so disturbed hearing this. And Shanda Namarka immediately called others and said, get us a stick. This boy Prahlad has become a fool, a rascal. He has to be punished. There are four ways of treating a person. Sam, Dham, Danda, Bhed. So the fourth thing has to be applied now. Has to be beaten. But Prahlad Maharaj was so simple, so straightforward. He just kept smiling. Shanda Namarka also could not beat him. Shanda Namarka thought, okay, let us try again, you know, to preach him a little more higher science of demonic consciousness. Maybe he'll be happy. Maybe he'll change. So now again they began their teachings. The second semester began now for Prahlad Maharaj. First semester he got all KTs. As per Shanda Namarka. So, so then second semester also got over and then Prahlad Maharaj was brought in front of Hiranyakashipu. So this time Prahlad Maharaj's mother, Kayadu, she decorated Prahlad Maharaj very beautifully and presented him in front of his father. Now as soon as Prahlad Maharaj came in front of his father, Prahlad Maharaj offered obeisance to his father, Dandot Pranam, because he was his father. And then it is mentioned Hiranyakashipu, the emotions which came in Hiranyakashipu's heart after seeing his son, that is mentioned in Bhagavatam. Hiranyakashipu, when he saw that his child has fallen at his feet, it is mentioned he began showering blessings upon Prahlad Maharaj. And then he embraced Prahlad Maharaj with both of his arms. And then after embracing him, it is said that Hiranyakashipu started smelling Prahlad Maharaj's head. And then started crying tears. And with his tears he was breathing Prahlad Maharaj. That was affection which Prahlad Maharaj created in Hiranyakashipu's life. So Prahlad Maharaj actually was a good son. Hiranyakashipu was very attached to Prahlad Maharaj. And then after wiping out his tears, it is mentioned that Hiranyakashipu then asked him, my dear son, tell me, again he is asking the same question now, tell me what is the best, but now he is adding that question, that you know, as per what you have heard from your guru, tell me what is the best. Now Prahlad Maharaj is again very bold and he is going to speak exactly what conforms to Krishna conscious principle, and this time he is little more elevated now, little more second level of instructions. First he mentioned that materialistic society, materialistic attachment should be given up. But what one should do, that he is going to speak now. And then he speaks the same as verse. Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu smaranam pada sevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakhyam atmanivedanam. And Prahlad says, one should engage in 9 processes of devotional service. He is telling to Hiranyakashipu. Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu smaranam pada sevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakhyam atmanivedanam. One who practices his 9 processes of devotional service, Prahlad Maharaj says, he is the best of living entities. And then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives elaborate understanding of what this 9 processes of devotion is. One of the biggest purports in the whole Bhagavatam, which goes on for around 6 to 7 pages, I guess more than that. Every limb of devotional service Prabhupada elaborates. Even Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur's purport also is given by Srila Prabhupada in that purport. And then he mentions ahead that when Prahlad Maharaj stops speaking about this after this verse, Hiranyakashipu becomes more angry now. And Hiranyakashipu, with his lips trembling, Hiranyakashipu sees Chanda and Amarka. and start shouting at them that you have spoiled our family tradition. You are good for nothing. And when he starts abusing Shandan Amarka became very much concerned and they became irritated. And they stand up and they say, "My dear king, kindly hold your words. How can you say that we have taught him this all? You know we are the best of the sons of Shukracharya and our education can never fail. Nothing of this which he has spoken have been taught by us. In fact, someone else is actually teaching him. So don't trouble us, don't abuse us with this." So when Hiranyakashipu hears that actually this is not spoken, Prahlad Maharaj has not spoken this because he has learned from the school. So Hiranyakashipu becomes angry. And Hiranyakashipu asks Prahlad Maharaj, that you rascal, most fallen of our family, tell us, who has given this education for you? Who has told you this? And then Prahlad Maharaj says, Matirna Krishne parato svatova mito vipadyeta grihavritanam adanta gobir visatam tamishram puna puna charvita charvananam. Prahlad Maharaj says that those who have uncontrolled senses, materialistic person, they go towards hellish condition because they repeatedly chew something which is already chewed. And their inclination towards Krishna never arouses. And he gives the next verse as, Nate vidusvartha gatim vishnum durashayaya parabhairartamaninam. So in this way, Prahlad Maharaj gives powerful philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And he mentions in this particular verse, Andhan yathandir upaniyamana. You are asking me who educated me. But I am informing you that all the education which you are all giving me is nothing but a blind person leading similar blind men. So the blind man, when he is leading the parade and other blind men are following, what will happen? The blind man will trip and fall down in a deep dark gadda. What is the pitch? Huh? Ditch. Yeah. Fall down ditch. And all others will follow one by one behind him. And then Prahlad Maharaj does that daring. He says, "My dear Hiranyakashipu father, if you want to get real education, then you should smear your body with the dust of Vaishnavas." And when Hiranyakashipu hears that, Hiranyakashipu becomes so angry, it is mentioned, Hiranyakashipu immediately, Prahlad Maharaj is still now on his lap. Hiranyakashipu throws Prahlad Maharaj from his lap and Prahlad Maharaj falls down from the throne, down onto the ground. Nothing happens to Prahlad Maharaj. And Hiranyakashipu says, with his red coppery eyes, Hiranyakashipu announces, "This child deserves to be killed. Kill him as soon as possible." So Hiranyakashipu has already given the order of killing Prahlad. "This Prahlad is the killer of my brother." Now, killer of his brother is Lord Vishnu, but he's saying, "This Prahlad is killer of my brother, and therefore I will kill him." So Prabhupada says that why Hiranyakashipu says that this boy is killer of my brother. So Prabhupada gives an understanding that Hiranyakashipu thought Prahlad Maharaj is performing pure devotional service, so definitely in the end of his life he is going back to Varad. So back to Varad means, as per Hiranyakashipu, four types of liberation: Sarupya, Sayujya, Sarupya, Saristi, Salokya or Samipya. So he thought Prahlad Maharaj will get Sarupya, that means he will become like Lord Vishnu. So therefore he announces here that you are going to become like Lord Vishnu, therefore you are the one who killed my brother. Of course, it's a Mayavadi thought. Because a devotee can never be, he can have features like Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha, but he can never be equal to Lord Vishnu. On the other hand, Hiranyakashipu thought, if this fellow is same as Vishnu, I'll kill him. That means I'll kill Lord Vishnu. So therefore, he immediately ordered, kill him. And then he gives, he mentions how one should, he tells immediately his guards to kill Prahlad Maharaj. And all the guards, demonic guards of Hiranyakashipu, they come ahead with their spears in their hand, trident in their hand, and they surround Prahlad Maharaj, and they start piercing Prahlad Maharaj with their sharp swords, lances, tridents. So it is mentioned that nothing happens to Prahlad Maharaj. In fact, our acharyas comment that as soon as the first sharp thing was hit, and it hit Prahlad Maharaj, what happened? That sharp thing became a lotus flower, blue lotus. And blue lotus actually hit Prahlad Maharaj. And then second person came and he started piercing Prahlad Maharaj. It became lotus. And eventually, people all came and kept on trying hitting Prahlad Maharaj. Nothing happened. Their whole weapons became lotus. And finally, Prahlad Maharaj's whole body was covered in lotus. Prahlad Maharaj inside the lotus. Not like Pushya Abhishek for Prahlad Maharaj. So demons were a little confused. What happened? You know, our lances, our swords, which never go fail, suddenly they became lotus. So they come running and they report to Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu says, "My God, I never heard like this anything before." And Hiranyakashipu starts, "Okay, we'll try something else." So then he announces, "Okay, now you can kill him first by throwing him under the feet of big elephants. If not, then throw him among fearful and big snakes. If not, then employ destructive spells on him. If not, throw him from top of a hill. If not, then administer poison to him. Or starve him, expose him to severe cold, winds, rains. Or throw heavy stones on him to crush him." So Hiranyakashipu gave all options. Try all this and then come. Don't try one and then keep coming to me. So one by one all the options were tried. And nothing worked. A mad elephant was brought in front of Prahlad Maharaj. The mad elephant offered obeisance to Prahlad Maharaj. Then it is mentioned the snakes. Prahlad Maharaj was thrown in a dungeon where there are poisonous snakes. What happened? Nothing happened. The snakes did parikrama Prahlad Maharaj. And then Prahlad Maharaj administered poison. Nothing happened to him. So Prabhupada says in the purport that administrating of poison is not a new thing. Krishna also administered poison. Putana came to administer poison to Krishna. Pandavas were also, they were administered poison. Bhimsen was administered poison by Duryodhana. So Prabhupada says that Krishna and his devotees are always been, people try to kill them by administrating poison. And Prabhupada says, similarly, as Vaishnavas, we should know that we will also be administered poison. In what sense? And Prabhupada mentioned that there will be deviant philosophies which will creep on Krishna conscious movement, and that will be poison. So, if we want to protect ourselves from the poisonous theories which creep up in Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada said we should become like Prahlad. So, when we become very sincere and serious, dedicated Vaishnavas to the movement of Srila Prabhupada, nothing can harm us, Prabhupada said. So, Prahlad Maharaj was given poison, nothing happened. Then, it is mentioned that Prahlad Maharaj was thrown from the top of a hill into the ocean. Now, there is a wonderful detail to this given. This comes in the Stala Purana of Simhachalam. Simhachalam is a place in Andhra Pradesh at Vishakhapatnam where the beautiful deity of Varaha Narasingha Swami is there. So the story goes like this, that when Prahlad Maharaj was thrown from top of a hill into the water, into the ocean, Prahlad Maharaj was floating, nothing happened to him. So Hiranyakashipu ordered, "Okay, now you throw a big mountain on top of him. So that what will happen? He will be submerged in the ocean." So they throw a big mountain on top of Prahlad Maharaj who was floating in the ocean. And he thought that everything is done. And Prahlad Maharaj, when he was thrown, his body was tied with Nagapash. He could not swim. So it is mentioned that when Prahlad Maharaj was thrown inside the ocean, Varunadev, he started serving Prahlad Maharaj, by keeping him afloat. And automatically all the Nagapash which was bound to Prahlad Maharaj, they all got released. And Lord Vishnu came from below the ocean and he lifted the mountain and threw it and got Prahlad Maharaj out on the ocean. And Prahlad Maharaj saw for the first time, face to face, he was on the lap of his own Lord, Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu said, "I am very pleased with you. You ask what you want." And Prahlad said, "I do not require anything. I am happy just by having your darshan." And then Lord Vishnu said, "Don't worry. Soon they will come when your father will decide to kill you by himself." Actually, Prahlad Maharaj asked for a benediction from Lord Vishnu that you continue to remain with me. I want to see your form. So Lord Vishnu said, "I cannot remain like this. But I will come again to show you my original form. And I will come when your father decides to kill you. And I will come from a pillar to protect you." And then Lord Vishnu vanishes, disappears. And then Prahlad Maharaj comes back unharmed. So it is mentioned that place where Prahlad Maharaj saw Lord Vishnu, that is a place called Simhachalam. So later when Narasingha appeared, Prahlad Maharaj pray to Narasingdev that I want to worship you in your deity form. But I also want to see along with that form of yours which you manifested to kill my uncle, Hiranyaksha. That is Varahadeva. I have not seen that form. So Lord Narasingdev manifests a beautiful deity of Varaha Narasingha and gives it to Prahlad Maharaj to worship. So that deity of Prahlad, that deity of Varaha Narasingha was worship of Prahlad Maharaj in this place of Simhachalam, where actually that pastime took place, where he was thrown from the top of the hill. So that deity is still there even today. And it is mentioned that because two incarnations of the Lord has come together in one deity, so it has become very hot deity. Narasingdev is already hot anger. And Varahadeva also was very angry. So two deities have come together. So therefore Prahlad Maharaj was told by Narasingdev that you have to keep me cool. Since then the parampara is there that Lord Varaha Narasingha Swami, he is often covered with sandalwood. Only once in a year the entire deity is, the sandalwood of the deity is removed. And just like we have Gopalji being covered with sandalwood, but we can see Gopalji's form. But this deity is actually covered over. You can't see the deity at all. It's like a Shivalinga type, something like that. Inside the deity, up is all the sandalwood to keep Lord cool. So it is mentioned that on the Akshaya Tritiya day, on that day in Simhachalam, entire sandalwood is removed. And the actual form of the deity is revealed. Varaha Narasingha Swami. And then after 6 days, the form is still there. And after 6 days, 120 kilo of Chandan is put on the Lord. And after 3 months, again 120 kilo. After 3 months, again 120. So like that, how many? 360 kilo of Chandan is always on the Lord. And Akshaya Tritiya day, that Chandan is removed. So Lord is kept cool like that. So I was hearing a lecture in that mentioned that how as the age progresses, Satyug, Treta, Dwapar, Kariyuga, and we hear that everything degrades. Even demonic population also degrades. So when Jai Vijay came first time as Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, they were so powerful that Lord had to come in separate incarnations to kill them. First as Varahadev and next as Narasingdev. But when they came next time in Treta Yuga, they were born as Ravan and Kumbhakaran. So they were not as powerful as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So one incarnation was enough. Lord Ram came and killed both of them. Then Dwapar Yuga they came as Shishupala and Dantavakra. They were side demons. The main demon was Kamsa. They were not even known. Shishupal, not much is known about Shishupal. Only one thing. He came and he started abusing Krishna and Krishna just removed his Swaraj Chakra and killed him. And Dantavakra, hardly anyone knows who Dantavakra was, you know. What happened to him, where he came from. So anyways, the point is that how Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, both were killed by Varaha Narasingha, they came together in Simhachalam. Then, many more tricks were imposed on Prahlad Maharaj, but somehow the Prahlad Maharaj remained very much protected. And when Hiranyakashipu saw that, Hiranyakashipu became fearful. Hiranyakashipu, who was the Lord of the universe that time, he became fearful. That was something great, because if you read Bhagavatam 7th canto, there is one chapter which is titled as Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the whole universe. Now we can understand from the topic of a chapter that what kind of power Hiranyakashipu had, that he was terrorizing the entire universe. Demigods were all in his house and they were all maid servants. They were servants. They were doing all kinds of works for him. This Hiranyakashipu who could terrorize the whole universe, he was terrified himself. By whom? A 5-year-old boy, Prahlad Maharaj. Hiranyakashipu was not an ordinary demon. In other places, in Mahabharata, in other places also it's mentioned, in other versions of Ramayana, that once Ravan, he was so terrified with Lord Ram, that he went to his brother Ahiravan in the Patal Loka. And he went to Ahiravan and said, please help me to defeat Ram. So Ahiravan told him, well, you want to defeat Ram, so he showed him, can you lift this? He showed him a golden structure, something, some gold item, very huge structure. So Ravan went and he was like trying to pick up that whole thing and he could not pick up. And he was really very tired and perspiring. And finally he said, what is this all about, you know, what is this? So Ravan said, do you know what is this? This is a nose ring of Hiranyakashipu. And do you know who killed Hiranyakashipu? Lord Narasimhadev, who is incarnation of Ram, Lord Ram. So you are up against whom? Lord Ram. Who killed Hiranyakashipu, whose nose you could not lift? And you are trying to go against Ram. So Hiran gave him good advice. But somehow Ravana was so infatuated, he wanted help. And then he took help of Hiran, and the story continues. And other place, Bhima and other Pandavas were exiled. They came to one place in Himalayas. And Bhima was told to lift a huge mountain. So then he lifted a very huge mountain, very difficult. And then he was told, this huge mountain is the earring of Hiranyakashipu. So we can find that Hiranyakashipu was not an ordinary demon. He was the one who had terrorized the whole universe. Now we have some glimpses of what is terrorizing or getting terrorized. We had a few years back Mumbai getting terrorized. And we knew that no one was going out. Especially in South Mumbai. Even we stopped all our preaching. No one could get out of the gate. Because we know terrorists were here only in South Bombay somewhere. And the whole Bombay was in terror, and the next local train, everything was empty. No one was going out in local trains. Afraid. Fear. So this Hiranyakashipu terrorized the entire universe, and he was terrified of Prahlad Maharaj. So when he was terrified of Prahlad Maharaj, he started thinking that who this child is, you know. I have done so much tapasya to become immortal. And after that tapasya, I have gone some benedictions which results to immortality, but not immortality. But here is this small child. He has not done any tapasya. And his body looks to be immortal. No one can kill him. And Hiranyakashipu becomes so disturbed, and he starts perspiring, and he said, maybe this child will kill me one day. So that time when Hiranyakashipu really lost his confidence, Shanda Amarkadi became very disturbed. They come and start helping Hiranyakashipu, giving him seminars, art of self-confidence. Failure is a stepping stone to success. So finally, Hiranyakashipu was cheered by Shanda Amarkadi. He is told that, you know, you don't remember, you are so powerful that just by moving of your eyebrows, all the demigods run away in fear. So are you worrying with the small child, you know? He's just 5 years old. Give us some time more, you know? And Shukracharya is not here. He's going to come soon. So we'll keep him, train him. And Shukracharya will come and things will be all right. And maybe, as he grows up, he will surrender to you. He'll become a good demon. So Hiranyakashipu is pacified. And Hiranyakashipu says, yes, please go ahead. Please start the third semester for him. So Shanda and Amarka take him to the third semester. And this time Prahlad Maharaj has something more for Shanda and Amarka. So Prahlad Maharaj did these things that, you know, I am a lone devotee in this whole kingdom. I need some association. I remember one devotee from a congregation, he got a job very far away, somewhere in Gujarat where there were no devotees. So he came to Narayanath Maharaj and he told, Maharaj, I am going to this place, I have got government job, I am getting transferred, I am alone, there is no association of devotees, what should I do? So Narayanath Maharaj told him, simple. Preach, make devotees and associate with them. Simple principle. But he went and followed it. He actually went there and he started preaching. What he would do is he would tell everyone, I am having a special program. I am a very good cook, so I'll make nice food for all of you. Please come. And he was a doctor, so everyone respected him in his colony. So then he invited everyone and he would first make them eat food. That was prasad. He himself cooked. And then he would speak something on Krishna consciousness. And that's how he began. Slowly, slowly, in 1 year's time, he made so many devotees. And after so many years, like there was kind of a small thriving center where 15, 20, 16 rounders chanting Hare Krishna. And I remember whenever I wish to go from here to, let's say, north, via that line, Gujarat line, we would also always call the devotee. And the devotee was not there, he would tell others, you know, Prasad leke bhejna jara train mein. So nothing was there, but he preached and he made devotees. And then he associated with those devotees. So Prahlad Maharaj also wanted some devotee association. So Prahlad Maharaj thought of starting preaching in his school. So one day it is mentioned, Shanda and Amarka, Bhagavata mentions, that they went home to attend their household affairs. Bhagavata mentions. And Prabhupada writes here, that Prahlad Maharaj was sitting alone when there was recess time. Prabhupada writes, tiffin time. And all the friends of Prahlad Maharaj came running and said, Prahlad Maharaj, let's play. So Prabhupada says that generally in leisure time, children always opt to play. But Prahlad Maharaj told his friends that you all sit down. We should not waste our time in playing. Life is very precious and very small, very short. We should engage ourselves in Krishna consciousness. And then he spoke this verse, Kaumar Achari Pragyo Dharman Bhagavatani. And the whole chapter is there on Prahlad Maharaj instructing his schoolmates. And he gives powerful philosophy of Krishna consciousness to small children. And apparently to preach to small children is the most difficult task. At best you can speak some stories and keep them happy and keep them attentive. Otherwise, as soon as you speak philosophy, they will be out. But Prahlad Maharaj spoke very powerful philosophy, and because he was such a powerful preacher, he could make them realize the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And he spoke the entire philosophy of Krishna consciousness in a nutshell to all his children, all his friends. So Prabhupada says in the purport that Prahlad Maharaj, what he is saying is right, that one should begin his Krishna consciousness right from childhood. And Prabhupada says that actually it's very difficult to practice Krishna consciousness as we go more and more late. In fact, it is very difficult to get trained in anything as we go older. And Prabhupada quotes, we can't teach old dog new tricks. Even in education also so difficult. And Prabhupada gives an example, a story. Prabhupada said that once I knew there was one BA examination which was going on. And in the examination, the father also was attempting along with his daughter. Both of them were attending exam to pass BA. And Prabhupada says, father failed, daughter passed. And Prabhupada, this is what, as we grow old, we can't study. Very difficult to study. So Prabhupada says, even ordinary education one cannot study when he becomes old. What to speak of Krishna consciousness? So difficult to study Shastra. Therefore, Prabhupada says, it is mentioned by Prahlad Maharaj, one should begin at a very young age. And then Prahlad Maharaj continues, and finally Prahlad Maharaj says that all this what I have spoken was spoken by Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, to my spiritual master Narad Muni, by whose mercy I have received this instruction. So after the whole instruction is over, the children are very intrigued and they ask Prahlad Maharaj, you are always with us in the same Gurukul and we have never seen you attending extra classes. So how come Narad Muni has ever come to our ashram and taught you all these things? And then Prahlad Maharaj mentions the story of how he was educated by Narad Muni in the womb of his mother. And then Prahlad Maharaj mentions that how when Hiranyakashipu had gone to Dantapasya, all the demigods, they made a plot. That right now when Hiranyakashipu is doing tapasya, we'll go and ransack all his kingdom, defeat all the demons. And especially Indra had an eye on Kayadu. Indra was thinking that Hiranyakashipu's child is in the womb of Kayadu. Now this fellow himself is so difficult to bear. What will happen if his child comes out? So therefore he had a plot that we will kidnap Kayadu, keep her and when the child comes out demonic, then we'll kill the child. So that was the plot made by Indra. And all the demigods came and they ransacked the whole kingdom and all the demons ran helter-skelter and finally Indra kidnapped Kayadu and was taking Kayadu to heavenly planets. And that time Narad Muni came. And Narad Muni came and told Indra that why are you taking this innocent lady? He said, she is not innocent, she is bearing the child of the greatest demon ever, history has seen. So therefore we are taking so that tomorrow when the child is born and it becomes demon, then we kill him. So Narad Muni says, you should not worry. You should know that this lady is bearing one of the greatest devotee. So Indra, it is mentioned that Indra had that faith on Narad Muni. For Indra it was like, very big thing to agree with Narad Muni. Especially, he can't take risk like that, Narad Muni said, maybe. So Narad Muni said, you should not harm her. In fact, she is bearing a very great devotee of the Lord. As soon as Narad Muni speaks that, Prahlad Mara, Indra and all the demigods started doing parikrama of Kayadu. That is the faith. That is Asura, a demigod. That he has faith in the instructions of realized souls. And then Narad Muni takes Kayadu to his ashram. So in Vrindavan, this place is there in Govardhan, Kusum Sarovar. So in front of Kusum Sarovar, there is a place called as Narad Kund. So as per Braj Mandal Parikrama book, it is mentioned that Narad Muni was given this place by Srimati Radharani herself. And Srimati Radharani had told Narad Muni was told that you stay in Vrindavan and you write bhakti scriptures. So Narad Muni reminded Adhanani that actually I have got a curse from Daksha that I cannot stay in one place for a long time. So Adhanani told Narad Muni that you're talking about curse in the material world, but Vrindavan is not material world. Vrindavan is spiritual world. So don't worry, you stay here, nothing will happen to you. So a place was designated for Narad Muni. Narad Muni went and stayed there and he wrote the Narad Bhakti Sutra at that place. So it was at this place that Narad Muni brought Kayadu. And then he spoke the glories of Krishna consciousness to Kayadu there. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport that Kayadu in a disciplined way, she was hearing Krishna Katha from Narad Muni. But somehow she was not interested. Her interest more was on how the child in the womb had to be raised properly, has to be fed properly. And her question again was, when my husband will come back, I'll be protected. So even though she was serving Narad Muni, but she was not much interested in actual Krishna consciousness. So when Narad Muni was speaking, he was speaking not only to Kayadu, but also to Prahlad in the womb. So Prahlad heard the entire philosophy of Krishna consciousness. In due course of time, Kayadu forgot everything. But Prahlad remembered. So Prahlad got educated in the womb of his mother. So Kayadu, it is mentioned that she was, she decided, Bhagavatam mentions, that because I am with Narad Muni's ashram and still I am a little fearful because anything can happen because my husband is not there. So Kayadu decided to bear Prahlad Maharaj in the womb as long as Hiranyakashipu doesn't come back. So this question many times people say, hey, Prahlad Maharaj, ye panchal kaise bache, Hiranyakashipu itna tapasya kya. So it is mentioned in Bhagavatam that Prahlad Maharaj, Kayadu kept, that time the potency was there of mother, that she could keep the child in the womb for so many thousands of years. And when Hiranyakashipu came back from tapasya, and that time Prahlad Maharaj was born. So Prahlad Maharaj was only 5 years old. So this was the history of Prahlad Maharaj. So it is mentioned that Prahlad Maharaj then informed, this is how I learned from my spiritual master Narad Muni. So when Prahlad Maharaj was preaching this to his schoolmates, that time Shande and Amarka entered. And they saw that Prahlad Maharaj was doing kirtan along with all the students and they were chanting. And we find this book also, Transcendental Teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. We find Prahlad Maharaj doing like this, raising his hands with one leg up, dancing Hari Bol. So everyone was dancing and Shanda Namarka was thinking of all places, you know, our institute has become Hare Krishna temple, you know. So they became so angry, they immediately pulled out Prahlad Maharaj and took him to Hiranyakashipu and said, forget us, forgive us, we actually cannot educate your child. We thought that he is still at least some way, we can try educating him. But right now he is spoiling the school itself. So better don't, we don't want him. So when Hiranyakashipu heard this, Hiranyakashipu became so angry. Hiranyakashipu told Prahlad Maharaj that it seems that you are getting a lot of power from someone. And therefore, I will surely kill you today by my own hands. And Prahlad Maharaj said to Hiranyakashipu, I am getting power from the same person from whom you are getting power. And that is Lord Vishnu. And Hiranyakashipu started boiling, you know, of all people, again Lord Vishnu's name is saying. And then Prahlad Maharaj tells Hiranyakashipu to surrender to Lord Vishnu even now. And then Hiranyakashipu says, today we will see. You say your Lord Vishnu is everywhere. Let us see where is he. Let us check whether he comes to save you. And then Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu sees here and says, your Lord is everywhere. Is he in that pillar? So Prahlad Maharaj sees the pillar. And then he sees Narasingadev in the pillar. He knows Lord is there. And he knows Lord is everywhere. And immediately, without any hesitation, Prahlad Maharaj says, yes, my Lord is there. I remember one time Shikshashaka Prabhu was giving a lecture on Narasingha Chaturdashi and he was saying that, just imagine someone is on gunpoint, you know, and someone is being asked at that, Tere Bhagwan kaha hai? Very difficult to answer that question. In drama is easy, you know, drama and the script, the Prahlad Maharaj, the devotee boy who is there, you know, he knows the pillar behind Narasingadev is standing, so he can say, Prahlad Bhagwan mere Narasingadev uski piche hai. But in real life incident, to have such kind of conviction that yes, pinpointedly, your Lord is there. Say, yes, my Lord is there. So Hiranyakashipu raises his sword and just he is about to kill Prahlad Maharaj, but before that he just goes and he just bangs at the pillar. And then there is a cracking sound. First a small cracking and then a huge tremor. And finally, as if the whole universe is getting deafened, the entire pillar just breaks open. And out comes a huge mysterious form for Hiranyakashipu. Now Lord Narasimhadeva is appearing, and the person who is going to see him first is Hiranyakashipu. The first darshan. Just like sometimes we go for installation of deities, you know, and we are very eager, first darshan, aage khada rehna mujhe. Hiranyakashipu was the first person to see Narasimhadeva's form. And he was thinking, who this person is? He was seeing from down to up, as if you see the deities, from down to up he is seeing. And he was analyzing. He said, I can't make it. He's a lion or a man. And finally then we know as how that there is a big fight between Narasimhadeva and Hiranyakashipu. And it is mentioned that Narasimhadeva kills Hiranyakashipu. Wears his intestines. And then more ahead we will hear as on Tuesday, Narasimha Chaturdashi, how Lord Narasimhadeva in detail kills Hiranyakashipu. So it is mentioned that this place, Ahobilam in Andhra Pradesh, is a place where this pastime of Lord coming out of pillar took place. And from there, that is the place where Hiranyakashipu was killed. So Lord Narasimhadeva appeared, all the demigods, they start shouting praises and praises of Lord Vishnu, of his glory. And they said, Aho Viryam, Aho Shauryam, Aho Bahu Parakrama, Narsimham Param Daivam, Aho Bilam, Aho Balam. So because they chanted Aho Bilam and Aho Balam, that place became called as Aho Balam. Aho Balam means what a strength, what a strength. And Aho Bilam also is the name given for Aho Bilam because before Narasimhadeva appeared, Garuda had heard about Narasimhadeva's avatar. So he was doing tapasya in that place and he wanted to see Lord Narasimhadeva's form. So after doing tapasya, Lord Vishnu appeared to him and told him, what do you want from me? He said, I want to see your form as Narasimhadeva. So Lord Vishnu told Garudji that you go to that cave and stand near the cave. From the cave, my form as Lord Narasimha will appear. So Garudji went in front of the cave, and from inside the cave, Lord Narasimha appeared and gave darshan to Garudji. And because he came from a cave, Bila, so therefore Aho Bila. So there is Aho Bila or Aho Balam, the same thing. So after killing Hiranyakashipu, it is mentioned, Prahlad Maharaj prayed to Narasimhadeva that please stay for some days here. So Narasimhadeva saw everything around. He said, well, there is a lot of massacre, murder, and a lot of blood here. So Narasimhadeva invoked Ganga Devi to purify the whole place. So even today also there is a river called Bhavanashini, and she is flowing that place. And that is actually invoked by Narasimhadeva himself. So in this way, Lord Narasimhadeva performed so many pastimes. I like to end with a small, brief two, three pastimes of how Lord Narasimhadeva is even today protecting devotees. Not just in Satyuga Gekim, even Kali Yuga, right from beginning of Kali Yuga to the current age, he is protecting all different devotees of Krishna. So there is a story in Simhachalam that one time the Mughals attacked Simhachalam and they wanted to destroy the temple and the deities there. So when they came to Simhachalam to attack the temple, there was one devotee there who was a kavi, a poet. His name was Kurmanath. So everyone was wearing helter skelter. Kurmanath was like Prahlad Maharaj. He was very cool. He started offering prayers to Sima. He said, why should we run for protection, you know? When Lord himself is there, he protected Prahlad Maharaj. Who is people are there? So he praised. He started glorifying Lord Varaha Swami. At that time, it is mentioned, from nowhere, thousands and thousands of huge copper hornets, which is like a huge, like a stinging bees, they all came from nowhere and they all attacked this huge army of Mughals. And what they can do, you know, with the weapons, when the such sting, they were getting stinged, and all they could do was run away from that place. They all ran away. And the bees, when they came out, they sting the army and they all went back behind a hill. That's all. They disappeared. So even today that hill is there from which the bees came out. And everyone knows because Kurmanath offered prayers, Lord Narasimhadeva would send his army of copper hornets to scare away the Mughal invaders. There is another story that how one time there is one king, King Prataprudra. He is not the same Prataprudra as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. But as King Prataprudra, he was a devotee of Lord Shiva. So every day he had a vow he had taken that he would in the morning worship a Shivalinga, which was golden in color, which was actually gold. He would make a Shivalinga of gold, worship and donate it
to someone. So one day he was in a hunting expedition, and he came to the province of Ahobilam. And then he decided to take rest. The next morning he got up, took his bath, and he told his goldsmith to cast a golden shivalinga. But the goldsmith, as soon as he was casting gold shivalingam, the shivalinga's form would disappear and turn to some other form. In this way, in front of Prataprudra Maharaj, he tried all different ways to create a shivalingam, but as many times he made a shivalingam turned into another form. And that form was of Narsingadev. So Prataprudra was thinking, "Are, today my vow will not be, I'll not be able to continue my vow of everyday worshipping shivalingam." So he was disappointed and he went that day for his whole thing. And the night when he slept, Lord came in his dream and told him that actually I reside in that place, Ahobilam. And therefore, no other deity can appear there apart from me. That is my area. So they were trying to make Lord Shiva's lingam, but actually the only thing which can appear is my own form. So now what I want is, you give this form of mine, this beautiful golden form, to one of my devotees, who is right now in Melukote. He's a young boy, Srinivas, give him this deity. And tell him that I have told him he should come to Ahobilam, he should stay in Ahobilam, worship this deity, and he should develop Ahobilam into pilgrimage center. So then this Prataprudra Maharaj, he got this dream of Narsingdev. So eventually he also became a devotee of Narsingdev. And then he took the Narsingdev deity to Srinivas, this boy in Melukote, and gave him the deity. So Srinivas was a boy who was born in Ramanuja Sampradaya family. His parents were devotees. So then he got that instruction. He came to Ahobilam in a jungle and started worshipping Lord Narsingdev's form there. And it is mentioned he was the first devotee, the first sannyasi from which the Ahobilam Math began. And Lord instructed him to start this Ahobilam Math, which is one of the branches of Ramanuja Sampradaya. And in fact it is mentioned that Lord Narsingdev came in the form of a yogi and gave him sannyas also. And that's how he became a sannyasi. So even today, right now, after this happened in 13th century, somewhere like that. Even today also, the current sannyasi who is there of that Ahobilam Math, he is the only one who worships that Narsingha deity. Even today. And that the Narsingha deity is kept in Ahobilam. And as you know, Ahobilam has lower Ahobilam and upper Ahobilam. Upper Ahobilam is very difficult to go there. But when festivals take place, the sannyasi, Jiyar Swami, he takes the deity to the upper Ahobilam. And it is mentioned as, and every festival when it happens, when the Narsingdev goes up, as soon as he comes down, on the way there is huge rainfall every time, no matter what season. It has happened till today. So this is the glory of how Lord Narsingdev even appears today for devotees. So there is another story which is also in Ahobilam. Adi Shankaracharya came to Ahobilam. And Adi Shankaracharya was there doing meditation, and Adi Shankaracharya was attacked by one hunter who was a bhil, and he was a devotee of Bhairava. So he told that, "I am going to kill you today." Shankaracharya said, "Why you want to kill me?" "And because I have taken a vow that every day I will perform Bhairava Yajna, and for Bhairava Yajna I need either a king or a sannyasi. So luckily you are a sannyasi, I am going to kill you." So Adi Shankaracharya said, "Well, if you want me to be sacrificed of Bhairava, I have no problem. But you can come later, because now I can see that my disciple is going to come." So Adi Shankaracharya had one disciple whose name was Sunanda. So he said, "He is going to come, he will be bewildered. So better come tomorrow at this time when he is not there, so he can easily kill me." So next day he went. He went and he came next day. Now somehow other Sunanda came to know about this incident. He was very close by. So he was very worried that my spiritual master will never object anyone killing him, because he is so completely satisfied. How I can allow that to happen? So he happened to be a great devotee of Lord Narsingdev. In fact, it is mentioned that he was born in Ahobilam because his parents had prayed to Lord Narsingdev for a son. So when he was born, Lord Narsingdev told that your son will become a great devotee of mine. So such a great devotee that he prayed next day when this hunter came. And when the hunter was about to behead Shankaracharya when he was doing meditation, Narsingdev appeared there and killed the hunter. And this way he saved Adi Shankaracharya and also saved Sunanda. Even today that place is there in Ahobilam, and there is a Bhairava Kunda there, which marks the place where Adi Shankaracharya was protected. So this boy, Sunanda, was a devotee of Narsingdev. He was the one who later got the name Padmapad. And so many different stories of Lord Narasingha happened with him. So this also happened with Narasingha. So, and then 1579, that particular year, nearby Golconda, the Sultanate of Golconda, his name was Ibrahim Ali Qutub Shah. He sent his forces to destroy Ahobilam. So when his forces came, they destroyed a temple and they took this Narasingha Dev deity with them. They did not know where they were taking. They took all the gold and everything. They took the deity also. So the officers took the deity and they wanted to show to the general, the king, King Ibrahim Ali Qutub Shah. So they brought a deity in front of him and showed him. This is something which you have got, special gold deity. So when Qutub Shah saw the deity, it is mentioned, Qutub Shah became stunned. He became silent. He became speechless, as if something has overtaken him. Whole day he did not speak anything, like a deaf and dumb person. In the night, he slept, he vomited blood, he died. Even today, in the history of Golconda kings, this death is mysterious, how it happened. Suddenly one person is there, good and hearty, see something, and the night he vomits blood. So then after that, the Golconda kings never ever dare to go to Ahobilam, to touch the Ahobilam area. So even today also, Narasingha Dev is very prominently serving his devotees. And so many things are there. My time is also not much there. But one small philosophical point before we end is about that one may ask that, you know, why specifically Narasingha Dev has to be worshipped? Like Kadam Kane Maharaj, in one of his lectures, he posed this question to himself, that we have so many incarnations of Lord. Krishna is Supreme Personality, Lord Balaram is there. Then why separately worship Narasingha Dev? Is Krishna not powerful? We are already praying to Krishna. Why pray to Narasingha Dev separately? So then he answers very nicely that this may be a question in many people's heart, why you worship separately Narasingha Dev. But Kadam Kane Maharaj mentions in his class that if you see, Lord has 10 incarnations, prominent, and all of them come for specific purposes. Protection of devotees, annihilation of miscreants. So this is a task of all 10 incarnations and even more incarnations than that. But in our ISKCON society, Srila Prabhupada, apart from the main festivals of Janmashtami, Radhashtami, Gaur Purnima, of other incarnations, let's say Matsya, Kurma, Vaman, Varaha, Prabhupada has told to celebrate Narasingha Chaturdashi very promptly. Why? Apart from Krishna, Balaram and Gaur Nithai, one very important festival is Narasingha Chaturdashi. And the reason being that Lord comes in different incarnations to do various tasks. But when he comes as Narasingha Dev, he has no other task, focused, only one task. He comes only for one devotee. He is very personal. That is his personal nature. That he comes, manifests an incarnation for short duration for one devotee just to protect him. And Maharaj was mentioning in his lecture that when Krishna comes, in his one pastimes, there are many more other reasons and purposes Krishna arranges that. For example, Krishna is defeating some demons. So while killing demons, he is also doing something else also. Like for example, Krishna is punishing Kaliya. He is dancing on Kaliya's hoods. So Kaliya is getting punished. But Krishna is dancing and pleasing demigods. And they are playing all the drums to make Krishna happy. While playing, Krishna is telling with his sidelong glance to all the gopis of Vrindavan that soon I will also play like this with you. I will have Rasvila with you. And Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj are happy. Oh, our son is such a nice dancer. So Krishna is simultaneously pleasing all parties. And Krishna exhibiting his opulence as a dancer. But when Krishna has to come to protect his devotees, his form as Narasingha Dev is very prominent. Because when he comes, there is no other task. There is no multitasking. There is only one task. Prahlad Maharaj. And then when he comes, he shows all his anger. Now when Krishna, Balaram and other incarnations, when they kill, they have anger, but not as much anger as Hiranyakashipu, as Narasingha Dev showed to one person, Hiranyakashipu. That anger. So therefore, Narasingha Dev specifically, that incarnation is there to protect his devotees. And Kadam Karan Maharaj mentions that he had read a book of Satsuri Maharaj, But Satswarup Maharaj had written a book on Narasimhadev's pastime and named the book as Am I a Demon or a Devotee? That means someone may say, oh, Narasimhadev protects devotees and kills demon. But someone will think, but I am not a devotee actually. No? So I am not sure if I call Narasimhadev, will he consider me a demonic person or a devotee? Can be ghastly also sometimes. So anyways, he mentioned that actually in our heart, demonic qualities are also there and devotional qualities are also there. So Narasimhadev is so kind that he looks at our devotional qualities and he focuses on Prahlad Maharaj and he enters into our heart, Bahir Narasimha, Hridayar Narasimha. He enters our heart and removes all the demonic tendencies. So Prahlad Narasimhadev is doing maha cleaning in the heart also. So one strong prayer to Narasimhadev and all the anarthas can go out. That is the power of Narasimhadev. He has come for that reason. He has not come for any other reason. He has come there standing in front of all of us just to accept our prayer of protection. So that is the power of Narasimhadev's prayers. In fact, some years back in Mayapur, a pastime happened, Narasimhadev's deity was there. So one boy, a young IVF boy, brought his father to Mayapur for the first time. His father did not know anything about Narasimhadev, nothing like that. So he came around Narasimha Chaturthi time, 2-3 days before. And his father saw Radha Madha, he was very happy, big deities, Panchatattva, big deities. When he saw Narasimhadev, he said, what kind of Lord this is, you know? Usko tum seva kar rahe, itna bhayanak hai. But no, this is also Krishna only. How can you say Krishna? Krishna is smiling on the altar there, Radha Madha. And here he is so angry, killing someone, you know. So no, then the son has to say something. So son said, well, when he wants to play with gopis, he is there upstairs. But when he wants to play with Hiranyakashipu, he comes down. And he becomes angry, therefore he is not smiling. But he said, Madhava and Narasimhadev are same. But he could not relate to that. He said, whatever, we should not worship this form, we should worship that form. Now someone to say in front of Narasimhadev, he does not know actually Narasimhadev. But Narasimhadev is very merciful also. So on the day of Narasimha Chaturthi, when Narasimha Abhishek was going on, this father was sitting in front in the temple hall and was watching the Abhishek. And suddenly surprising, this came in the book which Pankaj Angripu writes, you know, stories of Narasimhadev. And suddenly he saw that Narasimhadev's face turned into Madhav's face. That means Narasimhadev is standing like this and Abhishek is going on but Madhav's face is there. So he could not believe, hey, aisa kaisa ho gaya? So he rubbed his eyes again, saw it was Madhav's face. Then he saw on the altar on the Radha Madhav, on the right side only. And he saw Madhav is also on the altar. Then he saw behind again, Madhav is, Narasimhadev is there, but actually Madhav is there. And then he got convinced. What my son said is right. Narasimhadev and Madhav are non-different. They are same. But the same Madhav, who is beautifully smiling, when he wants to protect his devotees, perform that task, he comes as Narasimhadev. One time Srila Prabhupada was asked by a devotee, Prabhupada, I am always angry. I always get angry with small provocation. So Prabhupada said, don't worry, think of Narasimhadev. He is the most angriest person. So when you think of Narasimhadev, you will be humbled that you are not as angry as he. And your anger will go down. Then one time Gaur Govind Maharaj also was asked this question about that if Krishna has so many incarnations, why specific Narasimhadev? So Gaur Govind Maharaj said, Narasimhadev is coming for specific purpose in devotee's life. Said, we all have lust in our hearts. And the lust has to be removed. So Narasimhadev has come to remove all the lusty desires. So we should pray to Narasimhadev so that all the lust will go away and then we can progress on the path of Krishna consciousness. So another devotee said that, then Prahlad Maharaj, can you tell something about Prahlad Maharaj's last life? So Gaur Govind Maharaj, you have a very nice narration of Prahlad Maharaj's last life. Said, Prahlad Maharaj in his last life, he was born in Avantika. And he was born to a Brahmana. His name was Vasu Sharma and his mother's name was Sushila. And Vasu and Sushila had 5 sons. And the youngest was Vasudev, who became later Prahlad. So all 4 sons, elder sons, elder brother, they were all perfect Brahmanas, Vaishnavas. But the 5th one was a debauchee. He was so much evil that he resembled completely opposite to his family. In fact, he was very fond of one prostitute and he would regularly visit the prostitute. And Gaur Govind Maharaj mentioned that this person, one day, when he went to the prostitute house, there was a quarrel between him and the prostitute. And to win a point, he said, unless you admit defeat, I will not take anything today. I will not drink water, I will not eat any food. So prostitute said, unless you accept defeat, I also will not eat anything, I will not drink anything. Somehow that none of them agreed, and the whole day they fasted. So Gorgon Maharaj mentioned, that very day when they fasted happened to be Narsingh Chaturdashi. And because they fasted, unknowingly they performed a very massive devotional activity. And the result was, in the next life, the lady, she took a birth in the heavenly planet as an apsara, and she got chance to do devotional service. And what happened? She became a devotee, went back to world. And then Narsingdev told this to Prahlad Maharaj, that you were in the last life, Vasudev, and because you did this tapasya, this vrat of mine, and therefore now you have taken birth, even though in a demon's family, but as a devotee. So Gaur Govind Maharaj mentions in his lecture that the power of doing Narsingh Chaturdashi Vrat. He mentioned that previously Lord Brahma also did Narsingh Chaturdashi Vrat, fasting of Narsingh Chaturdashi, and he got the power to do he got his creative potency because of that Vrat. And Lord Shiva also did this Vrat, and then he got a chance, he was very much got the power to defeat Tripurasura. So Gaur Govind Maharaj mentioned to his disciple that time in that lecture, that the power of this vrat is so the vrat is so powerful, we cannot even imagine. And he mentioned to all his disciples, you should all do this vrat very nicely, because you do not know. The last time Vasudev, by this vrat, became Prahlad Maharaj. So you can expect quite a lot from this vrat. Then Gaur Govind Maharaj also asked a question, that how can Prahlad Maharaj be in the last life like this, prostitute and all? He said, oh, there are two personalities, Gaur Govind Maharaj mentioned. There is one eternal associate of Lord Narsingdev, who is always in Vaikuntha. And there is one living entity who gets a chance to get associated with Prahlad Maharaj and go through the life of Prahlad Maharaj and become a perfect devotee. So when pastimes take place, Krishna arranges for two souls to come together. And then example is given that how was Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they come from the spiritual world. But then we have Sutapa, Dhara and Drona. They also get a chance who are demigods. And they are two living entities, one body. So one devotee asked Gaur Govind Maharaj that how can two people live in one body? Said, you are a very stupid person, he said. You don't understand. You think Krishna is like you? Krishna can't do anything like that. Krishna is inconceivable. He can keep three souls in one body, he said. And giving an example, Ramanandaraya was Vishakha Sakhi, Ramanandaraya was Arjuna, and Ramanandaraya also was Arjuna Sakhi. For Krishna, anything is possible. So if he wants to deliver someone, he can get all three people together and deliver them together. So we can see that how in this way we can prepare our consciousness for the upcoming festival of Narsingh Chaturdashi, and we can pray to Lord Narsingdev for protection against, for removal of anarthas, and so that we can also become following the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantha Srimad Bhagavat.